Birkas Hananim, right? That means making brachas for benefit. Like you make brachas on your fruit, you make brachas on your cake, you make brachas on bread. All those brachas, or after brachas.
You weren't drinking
the rabbit? Or no, after brachas you make for your bracha derises on bread. If you eat it for the svia, you eat it when you're satiated. Okay, so let's start. So it's the 18th perek. The 18th parak of Revolvi, and it's the first vad. We're going to go through probably the whole of vad at once. So he starts off. Tanya from a brisa. Hi, Rimei would say, Chayv Adam Levarech Mea Brachas. It's the Gemara in Menachas. Daf Mem Gimel on the base. Person's obligated, Rabbi Meir says, to make 100 brachas a day. Right? Mm-hmm. Sounds like a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Where does he learn that from? When does he learn that from? B'chol yom, every day, Shneema, as it says, Ata, now, Yisrael, the Jewish people, Ma Hashem Elkecha Shoel Mi'imach. What is asking from you? What does Kodesh Baruch Hu want from you? This is the Torah speaking here, right? What does Kodesh Baruch Hu want from you?
To make 100 brachas?
No.
I don't know if
he really... Ki'im le'yira, only to fear him. That's all Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from you, to fear him.
Fear
means all. Fear means... means a deep level of respect to fear him, and that deep level of respect. You have deep level of respect to someone, you see the depth of what he's telling you, and the reason behind it, and it's beyond your depth of thinking. That level of awe will make you not want to do differently from what he's telling you, right? Like lahavdil, if you met Einstein, right? And he started telling things about general relativity. Even if you didn't understand him completely, you understand like Roshe Prokhim a little bit, you'd still, you know, this guy knows general relativity, right? You know special relativity. You can rely on him. He knows his own theory, right? So Kodesh Baruch Hu created us. He created this world. He knows how it works. We might not have the understanding of that. We don't have the clarity of that. We don't have the Yirat Shemayim to understand that the depth of the Torah is the blueprints of this world, and that the Torah, basically through the Torah, this world was created. Whatever that means. Doesn't mean like, you know, they looked at Chumash and they decided, you know. Doesn't mean that. It means that the way the world was created in the complete will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since the Torah is that will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the world was created with that will. Which is the Torah. The Torah is the Rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The most inner Rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The physical world is also the Rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's the outer Rotzen. When I say it's the outer Rotzen, it's the Rotzen that, you know, you see a leaf, you can understand that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. If you look at it in depth, if you look at it, thank you, if you look at it with, you know, with that level of depth, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam
Shehakol Ne'eh Midbaro.
Amen. That's one of the Mayor Brachas, right? Okay. So now, let's go weiter. So now, actually, maybe I'll explain the Gemara a little bit more. The Gemara says, now, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you? Ma Hashem Shoel Mi'itach, right? Mi'imach. What is, what, ma, the Gemara says, ma is me'a. Me'a Brachas is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. The Me'a Brachas that we say every day. Now, how do we get them? So, if you look in the halacha, you know, with your 18 or 19 brachas of Shemona Esrei, right, of your davening, and, oh, you know, the Birkas HaShachar, believe me, you get them. If you do all your davenings, if you do all the brachas that you have here, right, and we do our cake breaks and stuff like that, we make plenty enough brachas during the day, right? Certainly, right? You make enough brachas, Baruch Hashem. So, we probably catch those Mea brachas. So, now, the Gemara is talking about something which is very fundamental. Yirat Shemayim. And it's telling you to do it in a very simple way. Make brachas. Right? That's it. Just make brachas. And you get Yirat Shemayim. Does that make sense to us? Do we all... There's lots of people make brachas. Everyone makes brachas. The most simple yid makes brachas. And he makes 100 brachas a day. You know, he goes to the minion factory in the morning. You know, he's got it down to 25 minutes now. Right? He did the world record 50 minutes the other day, right? He gets his mincha in between, what's it called, you know, the meeting, this meeting and that meeting in office, he managed to squeeze in a little mincha, right? His Birkas HaMazon, he doesn't have Birkas HaMazon, he just has his Mazonis rolls, right? Gets rid of his Birkas HaMazon, right? I might have a big meal, but he gets rid of his Birkas HaMazon. Then in the evening, you quick mincha, or he does a mincha and marv, you know, the quick mincha and marv. You do mincha, and then you...
Half an hour.
Not half an hour later, like 10 minutes, the Rav says a little halacha, boop, now the marv finished, now, patara tatsmo. He's done for the day. That's he gets 100 brachos. That's where he gets his Yerushalayim from? You get Yerushalayim this way? That's going to change you? That's what Chazal meant? Right? Obviously not. So Ravovi speaks about this. There's another Chazal. This is what we have to be very careful about. Kazorek brocha mipiv. Right? It's only if when we make that brocha, we're not just throwing it out. And it's an interesting lashon chazal. You throw a brocha mipi. What do you mean throw a brocha? What do you mean you throw something? You know, normally you talk chas v'shalom, you throw something in a garbage, right? You throw it away. You're throwing something away. What happens if you mention Shem Hashem in a way that you throw it away?
Leaves you. You're not connected to it anymore.
Yeah, it's going to do the opposite. If you mention Shem Hashem, and you mention it with a mitun, with like saying it slowly, saying it properly, saying it with, you know what a bracha is, that will affect you. However, if you do it in a way that you throw it out, oh, I have to make a bracha now. Whoop. You're not really interested in the bracha. You know, it's like, you know, it's like part of the things, like, you know, like part of this religion, you know, you make brachas, right? Some people can make it so quickly they don't even know what they're saying. Well, at least you can't even hear what they're saying, right? Not that they say quiet, it's like so quick, right? That's Zorek Bracha Mipiv. Is that going to be Mosif Yirat Shemayim? No. If anything, that's going to be Gareya Yirat Shemayim. Because, you know, say we've never met the President of the United States, right? I mean, maybe he's not such a Hoshav Yid anyway, right? But for most people, you know, even in a yeshiva, right? Even in yeshiva, if Obama was to walk in, everyone would be walking out of class to see him and shake hands and say hello and say to all his friends back home, right? I shaked his hand, I spoke to him, right? It'd be a big thing. I don't think anyone here wouldn't be like, you know.
Probably me.
Probably, okay. No one would be sitting down reading his book, his Art Scroll book or his whatever book he's reading.
Art Scroll, right?
Art Scroll's very good, don't get it wrong. Art Scroll's very good. Now, but no one's gonna. He's chashuv. In the world, he's chashuv. That guy's chashuv in the world. He's important. Right? Correct? Now, in the world, he's chashuv. I'm not saying essentially, I'm saying in the world, right? And it's a big thing to go and see him and talk to him, right? Now, what happens to his wife? She gets up with him in the morning, sees him brush his teeth, right? Sees him, you know, do all his minor things, right? All the things. He's a husband. Someone outside of his Dalai Lama, of his, you know, his, right, who doesn't, not so familiar with him. Or even if you had, like, you were with him for a whole day, right? He took you around, he started chatting with you. Then you saw he was not such a, you know, he's a nice, okay guy, right? But you saw things about him. You saw he does, you know, he has his own problems, has his own issues, whatever. Which I'm sure they all do have, you know. Look at what they write about them after their presence. We realize they didn't have such posh of their lives, right? None of these prime ministers. They weren't such great people in terms of their own lives, or whatever. You're not going to have such a covered thing. You're not going to have such a, right? Why is that? Because if you were to meet him and then you realize, oh, he's a real intellect. He's such a tzaddik. He's such a great person. He thinks about everyone. And you, when you got close to him, you saw the depth of him. That would give you a bigger awe to him. But if when you got close to him, it was like he, you know, you realize that he wasn't just, he's just one of the guys, right? It would be, there'd be a little zilzel. So the same thing happens with the bracha. If when you're saying your bracha, you say it with mitun, with proper thinking, with proper kavana, the proper way, right? And proper expression. You think about the bracha, and you think about the depth of the bracha, that'll bring you to a closeness to your Creator and a realization of Him, an awareness. But if at the same time, you just like, you know, you throw them around, these brachas, right? You throw them around. It's going to cause you a zilzul to your Creator. You understand? It's going to make you feel less. You'll find the people who first put on tefillin, you know, even at the kotel, right? They take their time, you know, it's a big thing for them, you know, add an impression on them. A guy puts on tefillin every day, right? If you know, we get used to it. Just put it on. Doesn't make such an impression on us. You know? We have to be very careful about that. It's a different chazal. The mitzvahs become melumada. Something that we came accustomed towards them. That's the thing you have to be very aware in this mitzvah specifically. Because here, a bracha is not so much the pu'ula, the action. You know, there are mitzvahs, right? Which the action is the mitzvah. You eat matzah. Right? Of course there's a kavanah to eat matzah. It's a mitzvah, the raisa, right? It's a mitzvah, the raisa, can I call them Pesach, right? Whatever it is, right? But it's the eating is the mitzvah, right? In the Rambam, if you eat matzah without kavanah, it's in the mitzvah, because you did an achila. But a bracha without a kavanah, say you ate a bracha, and you weren't thinking, you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just said it. How can you say that's a bracha? You're talking to your Creator, you're thanking Him, you weren't thanking Him. Like I say, tell you thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's a thank you. That's a todah, that's a hakara. Is there any thank you there? Is there any, like, nothing. It's a zero. So here, in order for this to work, and remember, this is a chazal. Chazal are telling you, right? So you have to say it in a way that it's going to bring you to Yirat Shemayim. And it will bring you to Yirat Shemayim. This is the kana of Chazal. This is the kana of the Gemara. Of David HaMelech, right? It's learned from a pasuk. Now let's just learn the bracha. We're saying a bracha now. Let's just learn a bit about a bracha. Every bracha has the same form, more or less. Right? It's Baruch. What does Baruch mean? Baruch comes Loshin Berech, from knee. Right? What does a knee mean? What do you use a knee for? You use a knee for bending, right? Bending down, for hachna'a. What's hachna'a mean? Hachna'a means like when you humble yourself, you put yourself down to someone. You machnia, how do you say machnia? You bend down. Huh?
Spouch,
bend down. You machnia yourself, right? What's that to do with blessing? Because our blessing comes when there's a nullification of ourself with regard to something above us, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes a source of our bracha, right? The source of our bracha when we nullify ourselves towards Him. That's what bracha means. When we connect to Him by nullification our own rotzen. So that means when you make a bracha, there's a nullification of our rotzen to His rotzen. That's what's happening when you say bracha, baruch. That I know that my whole life is dependent on you giving me bracha, you giving me that connection. Mi brecha elyona, from this big pool above of shefa, of goodness that comes from you. All my goodness comes from you, and I'm having recognition of that when I say the word bracha. That's what bracha means. Now I say, Baruch Ata, you are the source of that bracha. I say, Ata, I say, you, personal. That means I have a personal relationship with you. There's a personal recognition here that all the bracha that comes to me, all the goodness that comes from you is from you. That's a very high level nullification of self. If a person could do that when he makes a bracha, he's making a bracha. Then you say, Baruch Ata. And you're saying with intent. That means you're saying with meaning, with feeling, with your heart. Tefillah is avodah shebalev. It's a work of the heart. It's not a work of the mind. It's a work of the heart. It has to be a feeling there. So you're saying, you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of my bracha. You personally. I know you personally. I know. Yesterday what happened to me, I know it's you. Today what's happening to you, it's you. I'm breathing because of you. You are the source of my bracha. Now this fruit, or this cup of water I'm going to have, comes from you. Now, it's going to take a long time to make this bracha, right? But if we make one of them a day, one bracha, a good bracha a day, it doesn't have to be in front of other people, because if you start making like these long brachas in front of other people, they think you're like a little bit, you're going a little crazy, what happened? BTD disease, you know, you got a little bit funny, this guy. No one makes brachas like that. So do it quietly. When no one's around, just you and your creator. Take a little cup of mango nectar, right? That's what we have over there, right? And drink it, make a good bracha on it. Take something choshev, make a nice bracha on it. Yeah, you understand? Now, that's the Baruch Atah. Let's go weiter. Let's go forward. Hashem. What's Hashem mean? We're using Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei is a pretty high level name of Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei, what does it mean? According to Shulchan Aruch. It's according to Shulchan Aruch. We don't pask in this way because we're not able to do this. But Shulchan Aruch, we have to know it is Shulchan Aruch. Whenever we mention Shem Hashem, we have to think Haya, he was in creation. Hove, he is in creation. He is around, right? V'yeh, and he will be. Right? It's very hard to think past, present, and future. We're now. Person thinks now. Right? That's where we are. We always think now. We can think in our past. We can think in our future. But we can't think of existence in the past. We can't think of someone being past, present, and future. I mean, what does that mean? But Kodesh Baruch is there. All being in the past, present, and future is from Him. He gives us that whole being. The whole being of this world comes from this name, this expression of this name. So when we're saying Baruch Atah Hashem, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the past gave us this bracha. Now are giving us this bracha, in the future will give us this bracha. Elokeinu, our God. Now we say Nu, our God. Right? Our God. We're our God. You say Atah, and I say our. You now our God. What do you mean our God? Becomes not a collective God all of a sudden? First it's personal, that's collective. Why is it collective? My God became all of a sudden collective. What does Elohim mean? Elohim means the God of Din. Right? Din, Elohim means that. Elohim, Dayan, in Lashon HaKodesh, judge, is called Elohim. It's called the same as we pronounce God's name, right? So this, why is that word represent Din? Because it comes from the word Elohim. These, all these different forces, these different things we see in the world, Elohim, all of these, they come from Him. They come from one source. That's why Avodah Zarah is called Elohim Acherim. Other gods.
Other powers?
Yeah, other powers. Because when you see powers, you see the sun, you see the moon, you see the powers, right? If you connect to those powers, and they are powers. Well, we don't understand so well, but they are powers. They have effect on the world. There are powers in the world. We just know that all those powers come from one source. So that, but Elohim Acherim means we see them as disconnected from the original source. That's why it's a Avodah Zarah.
They're one and the same, no?
They're the source.
Yes,
of course they're from the same source. That's what we're saying. But when you see them, you see different. When as a person, right, you see different kochot in the world, right? There's rain, right? When there's rain, right, so it's hard to make a fire, right? It extinguishes a fire, right? Water extinguishes a fire. You see, it's different. Wind will make the fire larger or blow it away, right? You need wind to make a fire, right? You understand what I'm saying? So that you see this kochot in the world. There are strengths in the world. I'm not talking about like simple forces. There are also spiritual forces. There's a concept of kishuf. There's a concept of, how you say?
Witchcraft.
Yeah, like witchcraft. I don't think witchcraft's the right word, but yeah, say like witchcraft, right? There's a concept of that in the world. There are forces in the world. There are, not black magic, but there are forces which come, according to Bob, who created the world with those forces. There are these things in the world. It's machlokas in the Achronim. If by goyim, it's not allowed. You know, it's a question. Isn't it? It's machlokas.
It's
by goyim. Who says it? You know, it's also kishuf. Not so posh. It's also kishuf by goyim. The Nitziv says it's also. It says it's. You see, the Torah says megane even by goyim. We see from Chumash Rashi that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave, Avram gave, the Bnei Keturah, Matanot, he gave them presents, the Gemara and Sanhedrin. What Matanot he gave them? He gave them Shemot HaTumah. Okay. It's Kishuf, yeah. The Abrahamim, Shemot HaTumah, the names of disconnection of spirituality, but it means to connect to those other worlds. That, and the, you know, in India they call them the Brahmin. Right? I don't know. It's Vada in India and all these places. In China, there's a lot of Kishuf. There's a lot of, you know, all these martial arts, all these meditations. From a Torah point of view, it's a concept of death. Anyway, I'm not going to go into these things now, but it's definitely a disconnection. Right?
So what does it mean, Bresh Bara Elohim? What does that mean?
That's a separate question. That's a, you know, there's, you know how many Purushim there are on Bereshit Bara Elohim? That's, you know, we can spend a whole shiur just on that first pasuk. People have written thousands and thousands of Purushim on Bereshit Bara Elohim. But that's not, we're explaining the Brocha now. So that's the Shem Hashem. That means Hashem Elokeinu. He's our God. That means all these forces in the world come from Him. All this Brocha, we see it, comes from the one God, Hayahoyeh, and Elokeinu, He's our God. Is all these forces He brings about for us. It's plural. This plurality we see is also for us. Now we see something else. Melech HaOlam. There's a Malchus here. Malchus. You know what it is? We're not talking about a Melech now, like Obama. You know what I'm saying? A Melech that you stand in front of, you flip an eyelid, you're not supposed to, you're dead. You're not around. He's a Melech. Chas v'shalom, a person thinks a wrong thought, an aveira, or does a wrong thing, he's not around. Not around. Melech ha'olam, of the whole world. And these are le'ikuvah. Shem and Malchus, the names of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Malchus is le'ikuvah. It's not a bracha without those things. That means without that concept, without that Kabbalah's Malchus, without that level of achna, that you realize that He's the King and that you can't move a little bit away, little bit away. That's Malchus. Malchus means you're standing in front of a king here. There's a tremendous awe when you're saying that. That's a different level already. Not only is the source of our bracha and we're completely dependent on Him, but He's Malchus. He represents kingship. There's no playing around there. There's an awe, there's a fear, there's an awe there. Right? Melech HaOlam. Now, after we got there, right? And now according to the Kabbalists, right? In the this part of the Brocha, right? Is basically, this part of the Brocha, not Kabbalah, actually. This part of the Brocha is in order to bring ourselves up to a level, i.e. to bring to the recognition, this recognition in which we do, and when we get to Melech HaOlam, we get to the level of Melech HaOlam, that means we get to such a high level that effectively we've like caused ourselves to be in a different place, in a different spirit, like brought ourselves to a higher spiritual place. That's what happens when you say a bracha, according to the Kabbalists. Like all of these things that we're bringing the Shefa down by Baruch, we're bringing the influence down, and then by saying Hashem Elokeinu, right, we're accepting that influence on us, and then Melech HaOlam, right, we're bringing all this influence back up to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That means we're rising up to a different level of recognition when we say Melech HaOlam, and then once we've reached that recognition, now that we've reached that recognition of Melech HaOlam, Kodesh Baruch Hu brings down this tremendous Shefa to us, this tremendous bracha to us, which is Borei Pri Haetz Shakol Nia Bidvaro. What are you talking about? Very little fruit over here. Now I was in a big high here with Melech HaOlam. Now I'm eating a fruit, and now I put it in my mouth. Seems ridiculous, right? What's happening here? But if we understand Chazal a little bit better, the eating of a fruit is not just the eating of a fruit. When you say Borei Pri Haetz, so it's brought down. And each little letter, little form, a little shefa you contain within yourself. Like you get. It's tremendous shefa. Like you give like a little grain of rice. Literally. You give a little grain of rice to Kodesh Baruch Hu, grain of rice. And the, in comparison to the shefa that you get, the whole cosmos you get back. That means your work is a little grain of rice. Now, it's very hard to understand that. And you get back the whole cosmos. That's what happens in a bracha. And you get it now by making the bracha and by eating this fruit. But, you know, like, Rabbi, the water's... I don't exactly get it, right? Drink this water. Or the mango nectar, right? Doesn't do it to me, Rabbi. I don't get this, like, you know, this cosmos of shefa coming down. You know why? To make a bracha.
What?
You did make a bracha. If you make a bracha, that's what happens. Now, I'll tell you a bigger chiddush. There's a pasuk. It says, Lo al alechem levado yichi adam. Not only on bread alone does a person live. Ki al motze piv, Hashem yichi adam. On the motzi piv, the statements of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a person lives. I.e. the rotzen of Hashem, a person lives. What does that mean? What are the apostles talking about? So there's an explanation. When we make a bracha on a fruit, it's not, of course we have a physical body. Of course we have a physical body. Of course the body's here. Of course you have to sustain it. Of course you need vitamin C against colds, right? If you have viruses, it's good to have vitamin C, right? What else? Brown bread, right? It's good for you, so you don't have these highs with the sugar, right? I'm not giving now a thing. Not to overeat, Rambam, right? It's accepted now in modern diets or whatever, right? Not to overeat, all these things. Not to drink in meals, right? All these, you know, we do all these things, right? So you have a body, you have to look after it. What's the size of the body in comparison to the soul?
Drop.
Like this little grain of rice to the whole cosmos. Probably bigger than that, even. The comparison. It's like a finite little body to an infinite soul. Now, how can this finite little body contain this infinite soul? That's a pella. It does. That's a pella. Mafli la'asot. What's mafli la'asot? We say brocha when we go to the toilet, right? Mafli la'asot. What's mafli la'asot? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a spiritual world and a physical world, and the physical world can be, the spiritual world can be contained in the physical world. That's mafli la'asot that we can't understand. That's mafli la'asot beyond us to understand that. But it contains a spirituality. This physical body contains a spirituality, and it can contain it. And when we have Tchias HaMeisim, it will contain it completely. We have the resurrection of the dead. Now, what's happening in this fruit? This fruit contains spirituality. Lo alechem levado yichi adam. Akol motzei piv Hashem yichi adam. Not only on bread alone, on the motzei piv Hashem. When we're motzei piv of Hashem, when we see rotzen Hashem, in the eating that we do, on the bread that we eat, when you eat that fruit, you're not eating a fruit. You're eating a piece of spirituality as well as a fruit with vitamin C. And that fruit gives mazon, gives sustenance to your physical goof and to your spiritual goof. Now, the spiritual goof is like, the physical goof is like a little grain of rice to the whole cosmos. So is the fruit. The spirituality that's in that fruit is bigger than the fruit itself by a grain of rice to the cosmos. And you have in that fruit spiritual sustenance. How do you lock into it? Bracha. If you don't make the bracha, you can't lock into it. Now, I'm going to explain to you a Gemara. In this Gemara, it's a Yerushalmi, he brings a Yerushalmi. Maybe we'll learn the Yerushalmi. I don't know, the Gemara is a Gemara. It's the same, similar Gemara in Brachas. But we'll do the Yerushalmi. We'll show you where it's saying here. It's a very, very deep thing. And the bigger our bracha is, the better our bracha is, the greater it is. Well, the more kavana is, the more we lock into that spirituality, the more we sustain. Now, if a person knows how to make a bracha, if he knows how to do it well, which we don't, probably will never get to that level, but there were people in history. You don't need to eat that much. Not because you're purish from the world, you separate from self-world, because you connect so deeply to that sustenance that's in that fruit that it gives you its full sustenance. We don't connect to it. That's why if you don't connect to it, you get rid of it. We eat and we go. The man was a spiritual eating. It didn't have any psolus, didn't have any bad stuff. It was complete spiritual sustenance and physical sustenance. It tasted all the tastes. You know, Ben and Jerry's, you had it in the man. you, whatever you thought, you had it in the man. You wanted a nice shawarma, the man shawarma was there. The falafel, for those guys who like falafel, it was there, right? And it didn't have any trans fat problems.
Saturated.
Yeah, none of those problems. It was good for you as well. And no one, no, there was no going to the toilet in the midbar. We eat, and we have psalad. Because we don't have to connect. When you connect properly to something, there's not going to be psalad. There's going to be complete connection. Our problem is we don't connect, so it goes in, goes out.
There's a news report last year about an Indian Brahmin or guru or something who claimed that he hadn't eaten anything for months, hadn't eaten or drunk anything for months. And people were around him and they corroborated, they said, yes, it's true, we've seen him, he has not eaten. So the government, the Indian government, was, so did you read about this?
No.
The Indian government was pretty convinced from what everyone was saying. So they took him into a laboratory, into an observation room.
Right.
And they put, he said, I just pray all day. I just meditate, that's it. I don't need any food or drink. I get all my sustenance from energy.
Right.
So they took him into a room and had him under all the army scientists and whatever.
Right.
Took him through and watched him. And it was reported after 1 week, they watched him all the time, nothing to eat or drink for a week. And they did all these tests on him. He was totally happy. He had no muscle wastage at all. He had the same amount of energy as he did before. There was not any physical change in him whatsoever after a week without any food or drink. He showed no signs of having been without food or drink for a week.
Right.
And he'd been under observation the whole time.
Wow.
So they started to believe him. But I didn't read what happened after that. This was already maybe 6 months.
It can be. Look, I don't know how those things work, but there's two ways to connect to the world. There's a way to disconnect from your goof. When you disconnect from your goof, so you're connecting only to your spiritual, and you get your sustenance only from spiritual, so you don't need, you've killed off your goof, you've died from your goof, you've separated yourself. Now, I don't know how they work, but my understanding of meditation is to leave yourself and go to what's it called, how you call it, to...
unconscious.
No, what's it called? I've forgotten how it's called.
Nirvana,
whatever it's called, Nirvana, it's called, that's not a Jewish concept. The Jewish concept is to be with your goof, to enjoy the food that you eat and to be with it. But I think that's a little harder to do, because when you have to be with your goof and feel your goof, right, that's what's called kedusha. You should get married. It's a mitzvah to get married. You should get married. You have to have kids. You know what I'm saying? You have to eat on Shabbos. You have a mitzvah to eat bread and whatever. Right? When you have to connect to the physical and draw out from the physical spirituality, from the fruit you eat spirituality, not to eat at all, not to get your sustenance from the spiritual world, which you can do, and that makes sense. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, Abim Yom Va'Abim Laila, he was with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He didn't eat, didn't sleep. So you can see, you can do that. That's possible. I can understand that. That makes sense. What's harder to do is from the physical world itself to get the spiritual sustenance. That's kedusha.
Mm.
That's a big difference. The gruel used to eat, you know, a little thing every day. You know, a bit of bread, I think it was, dried bread with shemen zayit, that was it. And he used to be bole, that was
sister.
Shemen zayit with olive oil. And he would, I'm sure you see on Shabbos, you have to eat, right? You know, it's Gemaras of that they ate charuvim, right? Just charuvim from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos.
What's charuvim?
Carbs, right? I don't know. Probably they need that much. I don't know. But there's a difference in getting your sustenance from the spiritual world by separating from the physical and getting sustenance from over there, which can happen. I mean, we have Pesukah, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, right? You can do that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Kedusha. Kedusha means getting your spiritual sustenance from the physical world.
From the klipot?
From the pre. From the fruit you eat.
Is that because it's like it's a Kiddush Hashem to honor what Hashem has given you in the world?
To live in this world, yeah. Kiddush Hashem, Kedusha means transforming the physical to something spiritual. Kedusha doesn't mean going up to the spiritual world and staying there or coming down in between, you know?
Mm.
It means transforming the physical into spiritual. It means eating the fruit and getting sustenance from the fruit, getting the full sustenance from that fruit.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? Eating the bread and getting the full sustenance from that bread. That's a different level, because it's much easier to be spiritual and to meditate. Anyone can do that. You don't have to be a big person to meditate. You can be between the two of us. You can have bad meditators and be a good meditator. I'm not saying it won't help you. I'm not saying you won't be calmer. I'm not saying that it won't do anything for you, right? There's lots of statistics to prove that meditation is a good thing. I'm not saying it's not. But from a Jewish point of view, that's not the derech, that's not the way. From a Jewish point of view, you need to work in the world. Not by leaving the world. You need to work in the world.
But the Amida is like meditation.
It's a different form. Their meditations are meditation on self, or on the person's mind, or whatever. I don't know all the meditations. I'm not so familiar. Jewish tefillah, if it's like a meditation, it's different. We don't focus on self. We only focus on our Creator. We focus on Kodesh Baruch Hu's word, name. We focus, I mean, if you do the Kavanas, the names of Kodesh Baruch Hu, you focus on Him. You focus on connecting with Him. You're connecting to something above you. You're not kind of focusing on negating self. You know, you're not focusing on, like, I'm breathing, and by breathing I realize my body's not me. By thinking about my feelings are not me. By thinking about my thoughts are not me. So I'm, by negating these things, by not being me, I get to a higher level of me, right? Or a higher level of awareness of me. That's not a Jewish derech. The Jewish derech is by connecting to Kodesh Baruch Hu and therefore being a vessel through which Kodesh Baruch Hu permeates you and becomes your goof. That means your goof becomes something spiritual. You understand what I'm saying?
But you can, just like in days gone past, you can use meditation as like a clarifying process to go into learning, go into prayer.
It could be, but I will tell you something. The problem with a Jew doing meditation is meditation is easier than Kedusha. So a person get a high in meditation, and it'll take a lot more work to get that same high through tefillah, for example.
What do you mean by that?
Because it's much easier to leave yourself and to feel spiritual, right? Than it is to, when someone tells you something bad in your face or hurts you, and you mitapek and you shut up. You don't, right? I'm not saying that meditation can't help you to do that, but it helps you do that by, in a way of controlling yourself. I'm talking about being yourself, being with those feelings, living with those feelings, right?
Yeah, but meditation as not as an end in itself, but as a means to access or clarify yourself to a point where you're much more open or receptive to Kedusha and things like that.
Well, I don't know enough about meditation. It could be that
a preparation type of process.
It could be, but I don't know enough about it. But it's a different derech. It's not a derech of Judaism.
Wasn't it before that
the craft?
Yeah, but it's a different derech. That's some shame.
Before
but that's not meditation in the sense that you think. It's meditation in terms of connecting to your Creator.
What does that mean?
You connect, like, you can meditate on, like, the Jewish meditations, like a simple Jewish meditation. So you, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Shem Hashem. So you put it, that's Kedusha. You put the Shem Hashem in front of you, like you, like, project it in front of you, visualize it in front of you, and you meditate on that. or you meditate on in davening, you also meditate on the Seamus. It's a form of meditation, like a focus. You know that this, when you say this word, it really means this influence is coming down to you. And so you're meditating on this influence and you're focusing on bringing it down into you through what's called, like, you know, through symbolically, but through the Seamus, through God's name. Because each name means a certain form of influence. So the fact you meditate on that and you focus on that, you're focusing on something godly, because you're focusing on Kodesh Baruch Hu bringing that down into you. When you do that, that's not a focus on... You are focusing outside of self, but you're not focusing on self by negating self. You understand? You're focusing on Kodesh Baruch Hu, and through that way, you're negating yourself. It's a different level of meditation. It's a much harder level. It's much harder to do that level of meditation, because it means a complete focus on Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Not yourself.
Not on self, yeah. That's what... Negation of self is in a sense, meditation. In a sense. Judaism's not... is by focusing on Kodesh Baruch Hu and bittul of yourself to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So there's a similarity. There's a similarity. But the difference is that Judaism believes in bringing that influence into yourself and making yourself a more holy place. Making yourself Kedusha. That's what it brings. Bring Kodesh Baruch Hu into you. Bring your neshama into you. Meditation is about going up to your neshama and negating what's below you. And then you bring your neshama back. I don't know how you do it. If you bring your neshama back into you, or you become just more aware, or you live higher up. I don't know what... I've never done it. I did it once, a breathing meditation, and I felt very, very strange. I felt that my body wasn't my body, and I just did it before davening. I did it with one of my students. I felt very strange. I didn't like it. I didn't understand why. I didn't feel me. You know, I like my body. He's a good guy, right?
Yeah,
it was once. Yeah, it was once. I know. Yeah, so trying another thing. But it was a different feeling. You know, when I daven, you know, once every so often, I have a good davening, right? Yeah. It's a different feeling. You feel, you know, there's a happiness. This didn't even make me feel happy. This made me feel the same. I felt somewhat disconnected. But it could be because I'm Jewish. Yeah, it could be just once. Could be, I don't know. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not negating it. I'm just saying it's a different approach. It's a different approach. The meditation of Judaism is a different approach. It's called Yichudim, called unity. Yichudim means to be one with your Creator. And the Shashua of being one with your Creator, the beauty of being one with your Creator, and really all brachas are that. If you say a bracha well, you'll feel that unity with the Creator, and it'll bring a lot of simcha to a person. If a person says really a bracha well, I guarantee you, it might be a bracha. He has to be careful, it won't be a bracha of Atala, because he'll be so into that bracha, you won't be caring too much about the mango nectar. You'll just have a little sip of it, because the bracha will be so enjoying that bracha, you know, you want to make another one. If you do it properly, if you say a bracha properly, you get to a very high level of simcha. That's what happens.
This could be a beautiful, like, if you do a meditation properly, where it's in unity with Hashem, it can be a really great gateway into a great bracha, because each bracha sounds like it's a mini meditation.
Maybe the technique it trains you to focus. Look, we've lost a lot of Jewish meditation. The technique, we've lost that. Because this was more a Masora and was given down. The Kabbalists had it. We've lost a lot of things. Practical Kabbalah we've lost. No one practices practical Kabbalah. And even those people who do, you don't know who they are, and they don't tell you about themselves. Those people who, you know, like sit in a little room and quietly do things, they're not going to tell you who they are. And it's not going to be written in Mishpacha magazine, right? It's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But whatever that is, those are still private things. But it's not, we don't have a Masora in those things. It's not taught, at least not taught from the regular Talmud Torah. In the yeshivas, it's not taught. You know what I'm saying?
One of the things I find hard in the davening is that it's so fast. It goes so fast. And I suppose you have to practice by yourself, because you're talking about, you make it special. You don't just go, thank you. And of course, you don't want to do that. But it's so fast.
Yeah.
How can you make it special? How can you access that special
for
such a short
time? Chassidim Rishonim, how you show him Shah, we're talking about Shemona Esrei. Shah before the davening, an hour before davening, an hour davening, Shemona Esrei, an hour, right? And an hour after davening, they were, Shoya, what are they sitting around doing? So Gemara asks, what about their Torah? What about learning? 9 hours davening? I mean, what, how much learning you have left in the day, right? Chassidim Rishonim was saying, what happens to your data learning? Learning is an important thing. So the Gemara says, since they were Chassidim, the learning were blessed. They were blessed. They didn't forget their learning. Can you imagine learning even 2 hours a day? That everything you learned just went in and stayed. Just stayed. That means you read. You can read a lot in 2 hours. You can understand a lot in 2 hours. But it doesn't go away. Okay. When you're at a certain level of spirituality, you just read something that sticks. Okay. We don't understand that. You're right. For where we are, even for where we are, our prayers are too quick. Our brachas are too quick. That's what we're talking about. I'm talking about making one bracha a day. One bracha a day with kavana. One bracha. Let me tell you, it could take you 10 minutes. Because you prepare, have to prepare yourself. That's what you have to do alone. Prepare yourself. It could take a long time to make a bracha, to think about it. You make that bracha, it'll be most if you're a chamayim. That's what Chazal said. 100 brachas. There's a lot of brachas here to make. So we can't do those 100 brachas. We're not on the level. So most of our brachas are zorik mipiv. We throw them out. And if we start doing them, right, it's just not practical in our normal society. The society we live in is not a spiritual society. We have to work. We have other mitzvahs. We're more in a generation of doing rather than of thinking and of learning. It's a different generation. We became more magushim. We became more physical. So in a way, it's a very good thing. You know, you're seeing all these things happening to the Western world. You know, I don't know. You see the Asian world is coming up in the world. It's very much. China's coming up. Not because of they're becoming more Western, but also meditation, the Indian meditation, the Chinese Kung Fu, whatever, right? There's a lot of articles, there's a lot of professors going into these things and seeing that it has an effect, and that it makes, you know, as opposed to modern psychology, these things have effect on people's, you know, and change people. So you see the Western world, and you know, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding these things. You see the Western world, it's lost. It's lost its religion. It doesn't have anything spiritual to offer to the world. Happens to off Coca-Cola and capitalism, right? But that's about it. And that's being desolated now. That's being crashed. Family society, family has been broken down, right? So you have now the Asian world is coming up. It's coming up. It's definitely coming up. You know, 10 years' time, the world might look like a different place. China might be the America of the world. Right? People might look at... the Americans might just be these primitive, you know... people who are just, you know, looking after their hamburger, right? Or their beef burger, whatever it is, right? Or for the McDonald's. And I'm saying, you know, and the Chinese might, you know, money is a very, very big influence in the world. If you have money, you're important. If China has money and America doesn't, China will be important. If India has money, if the Asians have money and they're producing, they can do all the stuff, and the Western world does not, the Western world is not going to be important in the world. It's not going to be influential. It's not going to be important. And you know, why, you know, everyone looks at a Chinaman as he's not nice looking because he has squinted eyes, right? I mean, he's the majority of the world, right? But he has squinted eyes, has a flat face, whatever it is. He's not nice looking. A European's a nice looking person, right? Why is that? There's nothing intrinsic about how you look.
I think Chinese look pretty good.
Okay, I'm not saying you, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm saying generally speaking, you know, a person who has a shidduch, a Chinese shidduch, you know, it's not such a good shidduch, right? Generally speaking, that's how people look. That's how people look. That's how I'm telling you how people think. Right? But when the world, and that's because America's America. America in the 70s or the 60s, whenever America was great. That's what, once upon a time, fat people was thought of as beautiful. Thin person was thought of as ugly.
Mm.
Why is that? Because if you were fat, you had money.
Yeah. Isn't it still like that in some countries?
Could be. I don't think it could be in certain places. I don't know. What I'm trying to tell you is, beauty is not necessarily. It's a very influential. It's how people have an effect in the world. You know, if money is effective. And we got off our topic a little bit. Let's go back a little bit to it. Let me just finish off the Borei Pri Haetz so we can have it. So it says Borei, who created Pri, the fruit of the tree. What do you mean he created the fruit of the tree? Borei. He created the fruit of the tree. Do you believe that when you eat a fruit? Bore means now he created. Bore is always creating. In the present, he's creating the fruit of the tree. That means the kach that you see in this fruit came from him. What does bore mean? Bore means ex nihilo. It means created from nothing. That means the kach that's there. If you think about it, a fruit comes from zero. Put water on a tree, you just water it, and this fruit comes out. So they work it out. There's sap. There's this enzyme. This the chemical, right? But water, fruit. If I could, do hocus pocus, that would be kishu. Make from this water a fruit, right? It's much better than drink of water, right? Well, you just pour out a cup. Well, it's pretty good as well. Right? We drink a charcoal on water. Charcoal, that everything? Nia. Right?
Nia from nothing?
From Nia, word came into being. Bidvarok with his words. His word, here, there was water. Meat came from his words. What does that mean? We don't understand the brachas we're saying. That it all came from his words. When you meet the bonen, even a little bit of the bracha, you think about a bracha, there's a tremendous awe. If you really think about that tree, it's an amazing thing, that fruit. And then you open the orange, or whatever it is, and you see the little plachim, the little different pieces. And you look a little bit, my kids, they play with the oranges, right? And then they open them out. This little pelach, this little orange peel thing. Then you open it out. And little bottles of orange juice. Little tiny little bottles of orange juice you have there. Each one perfectly wrapped. And you can eat the bottle as well. And the bottle's good for you. Some people say the bottle's better than the orange because that's the fibers or whatever, right? Don't throw that one away. It's an amazing thing. And so when you make a bracha and you think about it, just making a bracha, there's a certain awe that's going to be with you when you say that. If you do that once a day, just once a day, you know what Yirat Shemaya you'll be koneh? The truth is we didn't finish this off, I didn't even get to it, but the Gemara, I don't know if I have time, it's up to you. We can have 10, 15 minutes if you want, or we can stop here, whatever you want. Do you want to carry on? Okay. So now let's say, read. Now we'll see where this comes, the Gemara. Ksiv, Lashem ha'aretz umloah. To God is the world and the fullness of it. Tevel v'yosheva, the whole world and the people who sit in it. Hanene klum min ha'olam, anyone who benefits anything from the world. Ma'al, ma'al me'ila means when you something which is hegdish, something which is holy, and you benefit from something which is holy. So the world's holy. The world has kedusha. If you don't make a bracha, you're moel in kedusha. What's moel? You're stealing. You're stealing. You're using something, a korban. You're using an animal to set aside for a burnt offering. You set aside for a sacrifice. You're using it for your own benefit. That's called me'ila. Right? So you're using the world in an improper way. The lashon of mal is chas v'shalom, a person is mal bo mal in a, if a person is an ashes ish, it's also used as lashon. It's an improper usage. It's a me'ila to the husband. It's an improper usage of his wife. You understand what I'm saying?
What?
An improper usage of his wife. A disconnect. You're using the world, you're disconnecting. If you mal in the world, you're disconnecting. Now it says, you're disconnecting the world from its source. That's what mi'ila is. You disconnect. This is kedusha. This has chibul to something. This has connection to something holy. The world is holy. Has connection with its creator. You using it without a bracha is disconnecting it. When you eat something without a bracha, you're disconnecting it from its source, from its kedusha. It's a disconnect. Ad she'atiro mitzvos. Until you matir it through the mitzvos. What do you mean, ad she'atiro mitzvos? Until you make a bracha. Le'not. So it means when you make a bracha, it's also Gemara in brachas. I don't know why he brings the Yerushalmi here, but it's also Gemara. La Hashem ha'aretz m'lo, right? Hashemayim shemayim la Hashem va'aretz natan ibnei Adam. Hashemayim shemayim la Hashem va'aretz natan ibnei Adam. When he gave to ibnei Adam, when they make a bracha, when a person makes a bracha, it's given to you. That means The kedusha that's in the world comes to you when you make a bracha. It's not considered you're separating from the kedusha in the world. You're connecting to the kedusha in the world. That means when you eat a fruit and you don't make a bracha over it, you're disconnecting it from its intrinsic kedusha that it has.
What does it mean, kedusha in the world?
Okay, it means holiness. I'm going to explain this soon. I'll explain it. You're disconnecting it from its kedusha. When you make a bracha, that kedusha comes to its mutter for you to have. That kedusha comes over to you. It's the same thing we said before. A fruit has HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzen in there. Has some spiritual sustenance to your soul. Eating a fruit isn't only eating a fruit for your vitamin C. You're eating the orange so you don't have viruses. It's eating the orange so you don't have aveiras as well. Viruses. You don't have your aveiras. You don't have anything wrong with you. You have a disconnect. It's to connect you to your creator. When you're eating a fruit, you're connecting to your creator. If you make a bracha. If you don't make a bracha, you're disconnecting that fruit from the world. You're moil. You're doing me'ila. You're disconnecting it from its kedusha. That's a tremendous thing if you think about it. That's what a bracha is. So when you're eating a fruit, you're just not eating a piece of vitamin C. You're not eating anything which sustains your kuf. Oh, and you have to make a bracha. Because you have to thank me. You made it. Yeah, thank you. No. When you make a bracha, you're taking that fruit with its kedusha and you're putting a piece of kedusha, a bit of holiness into you. It's feeding your soul and your roof. And that's Mafrila said. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world with kedusha. That this physical world has his rotzen deep down in it. And when you eat it, you're eating his rotzen. You're eating his rotzen Hashem. You're eating food for your soul. You're eating man. Do you know what we're saying here? If you think about what we're saying here, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what we're saying here. That concept, the eating of fruit, you're eating man if you make a bracha. You're eating kedusha. You're eating a korban. Do you understand what you're eating? You're eating a korban. That's a tremendous thing. We have to think about these things. We have to think. So we can't do that the whole day. We're not on that level. Chassidim Rishonim, you know? Chassidim Rishonim. They thought an hour. They thought an hour. Why? We can't. So we have 15 minutes today. 15 minutes to make a bracha. Take 15 minutes out. It's a tremendous Yirat Shamayim. It's a tremendous level of Yirat Shamayim a person will get to. The rest of the day, you know, after he does that, you know, it'll be hard for him to make, you know, the other bracha so quickly. He'll find he'll slow down on the other ones. Right? Just one. If you can't do one a day, once a week. Once a week, a nice bracha. On Shabbos, take something, buy yourself some nice, you know, some nice delicacy that you like. Right? Ben and Jerry's, whatever it is, right? Make a nice bracha. Make a nice bracha. Now, a funny thing might happen to you. When you make that nice bracha, right? You want to make another one, probably, and you'd be happy about it. But you will find, not necessarily the taste will be different, but you'll find that it's a different form of eating. It's a different feeling of eating. You're less interested in the eating and how tasty it is, you know? Even though it's a Ben and Jerry's, and you know, you like the, whatever, the fudge one, or the fish food one, or whatever one it is that you like, right? And you're really looking forward to eating it. You might not find it as such, you might find it, you might enjoy it, but the enjoyment won't be so much the eating as the bracha would be more enjoyment than the eating. There'll be a different level of connection to it. Try it out. See how you feel about it. Try it out. You know, we're in a world that we want, like you were saying, meditation is an easy thing. Easier. I'm not saying it's easy. It's easier than making a bracha. It's easier to connect us spiritually than to connect the physical world of a spiritual way, which is kedusha. But if a person does what the Torah tells him, and he connects to the physical world in a way of kedusha, that he sees the spiritual in the pre, it's a much higher level. Much higher level. And the effect that it will have on him will be much higher. Just that, you know, we don't have any more cut Nevi'im. We don't have groups of Nevi'im walking around with a Rebbe teaching them how to connect to their Creator, see the kedusha in the world. But if we had that, it'd be much higher level. We don't have that. We have to go work, we have to make a living, we have to get married, we have to do all these things. That's also Kedusha. That's also Kedusha. That's definitely Kedusha. But when we connect to the physical by making a bracha, we also connect to our wives in a certain way. We also connect to our lives in a certain way. Judaism is about connecting to the physical, not by disconnect. You understand? That's what the bracha is about. Okay? And that's the Achilles man, Bezal Hashem. Okay?